The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
If you have your Bibles, you can open them with me. I want to show you one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible on fasting. It's there over and over and over. Two men are highlighted in it. And we see in verse 1 of Acts chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Listen to what it says in verse 2, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household. He didn't know who God was. He didn't know Jesus had died and rose from the dead, because Peter will go preach that message to him and all the Gentiles for the first time that he could gather in his home. But he was after God. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are after God. They have partial truth. They're praying. Muslims pray more than most Christians. Buddhists pray more than most Christians. People are praying. They don't know. They want God. They don't know who He is. Watch this. Feared God with all of his house, who gave alms generously, gave much money to the people, and prayed to God always. And he starts having a vision, and I'll go down now. After that happens, you pick the story up, and verse 9 said that Peter is up on the housetop praying about the sixth hour. Listen to verse 10. This, I know I got the right audience this morning. Then he became, you wanted a word from the Lord. God knows you where you are. He became very hungry and wanted to eat. Listen to this. And while they made ready, that's in reference to food. They were cooking. He could smell it. He was about to break his fast. He was about to eat. He had his mind on food. The fast was about food. And while he made ready, boom. This is what happens when people fast and pray. God does the unexpected. He fell into a trance. And a table comes down from heaven, and food is on the table that is illegal for him to eat according to Leviticus chapter 11. According to the religious rules, he could not have anything to do with that. And God spoke to him in verse 15. A voice spoke to him and said, "What I call clean, you must not call common." And this happened three times. And while he's wondering, verse 17, and pondering the vision, Peter thought about the vision, verse 19, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, there are three that are seeking you." I have so many ways that I could go here. I want to highlight one more quick verse for you. It's important for you to understand, not only was Peter fasting and was very hungry, verse 30 said, Cornelius said to Simon Peter when he met him, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and I prayed in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. And in verse 4, he gives even more detail. The angel told him, your prayers and your alms came up as a memorial before God. One more verse, I promise. I'm reading a lot, but this is powerful, and I'm going to sum it all up quick. Verse 44, while he was still preaching, right in the, maybe just the introduction of his sermon, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and people were astonished. that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles also, those who had never been associated with. Because if you take time to read it, he preached about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in the middle of it, the Holy Ghost fell on all who heard the word. And verse 46, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Aren't you glad that's in the Bible? I preach the Bible. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter said, can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized to receive the Holy Spirit just as they have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Let me sum it up real quick. There's this man, he's a Gentile, he's an Italian, his name is Cornelius. And he is a devout man. First thing the Bible says about him, he is devoted. That's where that word comes from. He's committed. He's seeking. He's searching. He's watched the Jews. They look different. They act different. There's something different about them. He can't put his finger on it. They stand out. They're peculiar. They're unusual. But there's something more to what they do than religion. And he saw it and he said, there's something I feel when I get around those people. I don't know what it is, but it stirs me and it moves me. And he went after it and he started giving much alms and he started praying. He didn't know who to pray to. He didn't know God's name. We know who God is. His name is Jesus. But he didn't know, but he was so sincere. They're out there. Do you hear me? They're out there. They're searching. They're lost. They're broken. They're saying, if you're out there anywhere, God, I see the Muslims. I see the billions of people searching with Satan. You go in a bookstore and you see the occult everywhere nowadays. In Barnes and Noble, it's as big as the Christian section. They're searching. One thing about it, if people pray to God in sincerity, even if they don't get it all right and they got partial or any truth or little truth or no truth, God is not willing that any would perish. And so he's devout, and the Bible said he's praying and he's giving. And we know, according to the verse I just read, he's fasting. He was fasting. I mean, here's a sinner fasting. Well, Pastor, can I join the fast if I'm not living right? You sure can. There's biblical proof right there that if the ungodly and if the lost and the sinner joins in on a fast, I would even say this, if you don't believe God is real, fast for him. And the one true God will find you. He will find you wherever you are, no matter how bad of a... He'll find you in a prison. He'll find you anywhere you are. The Bible said that if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And then the angel appeared. Verse 3, an angel came to Cornelius with a vision. And he said, your prayers, I want you to think about this, have built a memorial in heaven. Your fasting, your giving, your prayers have built a memorial in heaven. And it's about your family and about who you are. God has seen your devotion. And please learn this. Prayer and fasting builds things. It builds things in the spirit world that will invade the natural world. When you pray, you build up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray, you build up your family. When you pray, you build up your marriage. When you pray, you build up the plan and the scheme and the will and the desire that God has for your life. When you're praying, you're building. And the angel said, this is what God sent me to tell you. You've got his attention, but you can't get to the next place God is going to take you without a preacher. This is what God told him on a fast. He said, you need a preacher. And here's his name. They can just follow me with the verses. There is by the seaside a tanner who has a house. Now, that's not talking about a suntan. That's talking about a man who changes the color of animal skins and tents. He was all of that. So there's a guy who's living, Simon, a tanner whose house is by the sea. And I want you to go there. His name is Simon Peter. I want you to go there and he, the preacher, will tell you what you must do. If you want your next step, thank God Cornelius wasn't so super spiritual that he had the attitude that a lot of people have about preachers. I don't need a pastor. I read my own Bible. This man was devout. This man was a prayer person, praying always. This man was a giving person. He had a giving statement. He was a tithe. He was giving all the time, doing amazing things. But something was missing, and God said, you're not going to get it till you get connected to a preacher. Now, this sounds a little self-serving, but I'm going to tell you something. There are some things you will never get from God until you get a preacher in your life. A lot of people like to criticize them and put them down and put them all in a boat and say they all are after the same thing and this and that. No, you know what it is? We're just like you. We struggle just like you. We go through ups and downs just like you. We have problems just like you. We feel like quitting just like you. We have temptations just like you. But this is what the Bible said about the preacher. It said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Do you know when you get under the right preacher you're supposed to have, it'll save you from things. It can save your marriage. It can save you from missing God. It can save you from leaving your husband or leaving your wife. It can save you from giving up on your children. It can save you from making the wrong step and going in the wrong direction. I'm sorry, but you need a preacher. The Bible said in Jeremiah, he will give you shepherds who have his heart, and they will teach you his knowledge and his wisdom and his truth. And brothers and sisters, never has there been a time when you needed a real preacher. And if ever you needed a preacher, it's in times like these. I want to celebrate ministry in this house just a minute. I want to celebrate the preachers on our staff. I want to celebrate the pastors on our staff. I want to say to God be the glory for men and their precious wives who are willing to lay down their life. They could be in business. They could start a business. But they say, no, I'm called. I'm called to have a word in season for them that are weary. You may be able to sing like a bird, but you need a pastor. You may know the Bible up and down. And you know, this man, he had seen an angel. He was spiritual. He was having a vision. He was spiritual. And the answer from heaven was, I know you've seen an angel, and I know you've had an open heaven to you, and I know you pray, and I know you give, and I know you're real devout and spiritual. You need a preacher. And then God said, but I want to handpick you one. I don't want you to just go pick up any old preacher, but I want you to go to the one that I assigned to you, that when he speaks, it's like he's been spying on you. He's going to tell you what you ought to do. Is that clear enough for you? And then God said, if I'm going to tell you where he lives. I know where my preacher lives. He lives by the sea. And I know what his name is. And then the angel gives him the preacher's name. His name is Simon Peter. I don't want you to go to this one. I'm telling you the preacher I've assigned you to. And his name is Simon Peter. Isn't that powerful? Do you know that God, and you know, that's how it is. And I guess from a lot of you, I'm your preacher. And I'm going to say it like I want to. And you can't do nothing about it. If God really connected you to this pulpit, I can't run you off. I can't offend you. I may get on your nerves. Well, I don't even like that hair on your face. Doesn't matter. You can't go nowhere, because when God calls you to a house, you can't just get up and leave. You can't just go somewhere. You better leave right if you do leave, because when you leave the word. And I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you. And it's not that you don't have changes and seasons, and sometimes things change. But I'm just telling you, when you're called to a place, you can't leave it. And when you're not, you can't stay. That's why I don't chase people. When I left and nobody called me for 4 weeks. Well, you shouldn't have left. Why'd you leave? I'm here every Sunday. When nobody came to see me. And we work hard. We do all this stuff. But our bottom line is we're not here for no preacher. No preacher. But he uses preachers. And in hours like this, you need a preacher. Cornelius was a Gentile. Gentiles were forbidden by the law of Moses. The Jews could not have any association with those Gentiles. But a man is praying and fasting who doesn't even know God really, but he's hungry after God, and God sends the vision, and they're going to his house. Your Bible said when they got to the gate of the house, that Simon Peter stepped out on his rooftop. He's smelling the food. He can smell the steak sizzling in the skillet. He can smell the macaroni and cheese, and he can smell the cake bacon. He was, the text, verse 10, his mind wasn't on God. Prove it. He was very hungry and wanted to eat. And I'd like to add one word, meat. He wanted to eat meat. Bread. Can I get a witness? And while they were preparing it, cooking it, his mind's on food. Just like some of you. You go all day long. Oh God, well, I can't eat that. I can't eat. All you're thinking about is what you can't eat, and food and food and food. But watch this. Right when he was about to give up, his stomach was going to pray out on the rooftop. His stomach's growling. His mind's not on trance. His mind's not on vision. His mind's not on the next great thing God is about. Do you understand? The gospel had been confined to the Jewish people, to their synagogues and their little sect, the people who had found out who Jesus was. But God is about to bust the whole world open, and you and I were about to be able to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's all dependent upon a guy missing a meal. And if he keeps his mind on food, he's going to miss this. I can't wait. What am I going to eat? Ham sandwich first, and then pot roast. And what am I going to eat? Well, I want some pizza as an appetizer on the first meal. I know what I'm going to get for my dessert. I know what I want, Krispy Kreme. I cannot wait. But watch, this is what happens when you fast. God releases, boom. Suddenly he goes into a trance, and the heavens were opened, the text said. The heavens were opened unto him, and a sheet and a table. What he's describing there is a table, a covered table with food on it that he was forbidden to eat. And this happens three times, and a voice speaks. He noticed that when you fast, number one, you build a memorial. When you pray, I want you to know that dreams and visions and angels are activated when you fast and you pray. You think all you're thinking about is all you're thinking about is the fast, but you don't understand that angels got activated. A dream came to one, a vision came to another. The next step was connected to missing meals in God's dynamic plan for two different men. A whole household revival was about to hit Cornelius' house because he had been fasting for 4 days and praying and giving. He could have missed it. He could have missed it. But God said, I've got two. I got a Jew praying over here. I got a Gentile praying over here. And they're this far apart from their same faith. But watch what I do. I know how when you fast and pray, and you may have a son or a daughter, and you're here and they're over there, and there's nothing in between. But when you fast and pray, God says, I know how to connect. I give kingdom connections to people who fast and pray. I know what God does when you fast and pray. He gives you kingdom connections. And the Bible said that the heavens open. Peter is fasting and praying. He's hungry. He's ready to quit. He feels like stopping. But God speaks. And what's amazing is when he saw the vision and the voice of God spoke to him. When you fast and pray, the voice will come. Whew. And you'll be reading your Bible on the fast, and boom, you'll hit on a verse and the voice will come. That's for you. And he heard a voice say, don't call common what I call clean. Go and find this man, because they're at your door. And at that very moment, do you see the connection of God? I wonder who God's going to connect you to this year. I wonder how they may be here and you may be there. But I tell you what bridges that gap is fasting and prayer. And God said, at the very moment they're knocking on the door, and he goes downstairs and opens, and they say, we've been sent. A man named Cornelius has been devoutly serving God, but he didn't know what to do, and he had a vision, and God told him to come get you a man named Simon Peter. He said, I perceive this is of the Lord. That's what that dream was about. He gets out, goes with them, gets to the house. When he gets to the house, the Bible said they were so in awe of Simon Peter that when he walked in, the man was so, I guess honoring that the preacher, the Jew, was breaking all tradition, was breaking out of his circle to come after his family. This had never happened. When he walked into the front door of that house, there he was, his whole Jewish community would turn on him. And he walked in knowing God had sent him, and they said, and the Bible said that Cornelius was so moved, he fell to the floor and started worshiping him. See, that's how I know he was just said, I don't know what to do. And he fell down, and I love what Simon Peter did. He reached down, picked him up, and said, don't worship me. He said it real quick. Don't worship me. I don't need God trouble. Don't worship me. You need a preacher, but don't worship the preacher. And also understand there are no superstars in the kingdom of God. You need them, but they're just people. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and he uses people, but they're not perfect. They're not worthy of our worship. We honor them. We say praise God, and we pray for them most of all. Pray for them. Then he said, tell me what you want me to do. And they said, we want you to tell us. The Bible said that he stood up and he started preaching. And here's the part I wanted to get to. And I'm almost done. And the voice spoke. And while, here it is, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words. He had just started, if you go back and read it, he preaches about three verses. He preaches the introduction of his message, but he got a lot in. He said, they hung him on a tree. That's what he said, read it. They hung him on a tree and they killed him and he died for you. And then he said, but God raised him from the dead. And within seconds of that saying, notice what happens when you fast and you pray, folks. Not only will God give you kingdom connections, but he will send interventions and interruptions into your life that you were not planning for. He had a whole sermon. He had all kinds of things. He probably had 4 or 5 points that he thought he would get to. But right then, and this is a big deal, what I'm really trying to say is when you fast and pray, not only will you have kingdom connections, but you will develop a sensitivity to God can shift things. God can break things. God can say, no, I know you're used to doing it that way and you're programmed to do it that way and that's how you've always done it, but I'm about to shift things. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost fell on them, all them which heard the word. I think he was probably reaching 50%. I'm not naive. When I stand up here and preach, because there's phones, you know, people on their phones, you know, they're talking to each other and texting their cousin over, and I'm up preaching and I'm not naive. And then a baby will cry and that section will look at the baby, and then over here somebody will get up and 4 people will have to get out. And see, I see all this. And then there's a weirdo that walks in and he's just walking down the aisle, and you know, I see all kinds of things up here. And you see somebody on your row over there, sticking their finger in their ear and it's grossing you out, and you know, he wasn't reaching all of them. The greatest gift that can happen to a preacher or a singer is for the Holy Ghost to hit that place and just interrupt the program. See, we don't believe that in the church anymore. We become so smart. We become so professional. We become so good that we think our little deep. It's almost like the Holy Ghost probably said, you're a good preacher. Now, you keep the rest of that sermon. I enjoyed that. Now, go sit down and let me take over, because I can touch them all at the same time. You know, when the Holy Ghost falls on a church, I feel him right now. Be all right with me if I just fall out in the Holy Ghost right now. I don't care. Pastor, what is wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. It's right with me. I'm tired of trying. It is not by might. It is not by power. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. The children, the young people, the lost. When the Holy Ghost falls, it goes beyond here and up here, and it goes boom. See, the question is, are you hungry? Because what happened to, this is so important, because what happened to Simon Peter is he was very hungry and he was ready to eat. But then the heavens opened up. He got in the glory. He got a fresh vision. He got a fresh dream. He got his next assignment, and he never mentions food again. See, I know you're hungry, but which one are you most hungry for? Because he had a table coming down out of heaven. And even Jesus in John chapter 4 goes to the well of Samaria, and the disciples said, we're hungry. We're going to go to town and get some food. We'll bring you a takeout. And Jesus said, you guys go ahead. And he sat there and waited for the woman to come that was in had been married 5 times and was living with number 6, or 4 times and was living with number 5. And he gets her saved. She goes and brings all the whole city out. And they get back, and all they're thinking about is, I'm hungry. We got some good food. We got Kentucky Fried and everything. Let's go. And Jesus said, no, thank you. Right now, in this season, there's something more than hunger for food. I'm hungrier. He said, my meat, John 4, my meat is to do the will of the one who sent me. I have meat you know not of. And then he says, my meat is to do the will of the one who sent me. So are you hungry? The Holy Ghost fell on the house. You know who was in that house? It tells you the family and everybody he could find room for in the neighborhood. And they filled the house up. But it was his personal residence and his family. The Holy Ghost fell on his house and they all. And then it goes on to say they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost they got in the upper room. Listen to this. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. When you fast and you pray, God will give you a prayer language, fill you with the Holy Ghost. He does not care about your denominational eyeglasses you read everything through. He's up to something. And he's just looking for people. All of this is dependent. I mean, he goes in, and for the first time, the Gentiles hear the gospel, and we would not be here this morning had some two people not fasted and prayed and missed meals. Wonder who's out there crying, praying, holding crystals, burning candles, reading occult books. God, if you're out there, there's something called a prayer connection. God connects people who pray with people who pray, even if they don't have full knowledge. Raise your hands all over this room in the overflow at every campus. Raise your hands high, because you could be that person. You could be that person. The Holy Ghost fell on the house. And we're going to have services this year. I'm going to go on and prophesy where I may just read my verse if I get that far. I won't ever get to call Bill up on the piano in some of the services we're going to have this year, because the Holy Ghost is going to fall. Stand up on your feet. Raise your hands toward heaven all over. Don't hear a word and just run out. Don't do that. Throw your hands up. You've been fasting. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. Forget about your hunger. Are you hungrier for a dream from God? See, you got to get hungrier for a vision, for a fresh word from God, for the voice. You got to get hungrier, because the Bible said when he was fasting and praying, the heavens opened up. You can walk under an open heaven this year. And I'm opening up the altar. And I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. You may be searching and seeking. You may be here and you're fasting and praying. But I want all the people in this room, everyone that will, I know we got jammed and crazy space problems, but I believe the people will get there who are supposed to get there. Get out of your seat and get to the closest altar you can get to down here and just throw your hands up and begin to worship God all over this room. Begin to praise God. I do not want silence. I want the church to raise your hands and open your mouth. I said open your mouth and begin to worship God all over this room. All over this room, all over this room, all over this room. Come on, I want to hear you all across this campus. Lift your hands, lift your voice. Give me some teenagers. Give me some young people. Give me some moms. Give me some dads. Give me some business people. I dare you, business people, to lift your hands and say, God, interrupt me. Now, I have these plans, and I believe in plans. I believe in programs. I believe in laying out and strategizing. We do all of that, but there's nothing we have going on that God can't interrupt if he wants to interrupt it. And there's nothing he can't shift if he wants to shift it. And I'm asking you to give him the same sensitivity right now. Throw those hands up and begin to, when you pray, you build a bridge to somebody where there is no connection. God will make it a kingdom connection. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a loved one. Pray right now while you're fasting. Pray right now all over this room. Begin to call on the Lord. Begin to praise Him. Begin to worship Him. Forget about yourself. Forget about hunger. Forget about what you're going to eat. And say, Lord, there's something so much better compared to that that I haven't even thought about. This next week, don't let food be the issue. Let the dream of God, the vision of God, the will of God be the issue. Begin to pray about it right now. Begin to seek Him with all of your heart. What are you hungry for? I'm hungry for His will. I'm hungry for His dream. I'm hungry for His plan. I'm hungry for my next assignment. And if I'll hunger and thirst and pray, we shall be filled with all of these. I hear it. Connections are coming. And glorious interruptions from God are coming. And God's going to intervene. And the Holy Spirit is going to fall on households. Everybody in this room, claim your family. Claim your family. Open your mouth. Now pray a little bit harder, a little bit louder. Begin to stir it up right now. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Magnify God. Magnify God. Make it bigger. Put the magnifying glass. He's always been that great, but sometimes you can't see it till you fast. He's always been that big, but sometimes you can't see it. He magnifies Himself when you fast and pray. Come on, lift Him up. You've been worried. You've been anxious. You've been losing sleep. You've been worried about this situation. But give it to Him. Give it to Him. Give it to Him. Right here in this atmosphere, the heavens are open. The heavens are open. Begin to cry out to Him. Begin to take a little time. Give Him your addiction. Give Him your addiction. Give Him your addiction. Oh, worship Him. Worship Him. Miracles happen when you pray and you worship.
Say, do it, Lord.
Everybody in this room listening to me, pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross and carried my sins. And you took all my judgment and you released all your love and mercy. I am forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am saved because I believe and confess that you are Lord. There is no God beside you. And I just thank you as I pray, as I read my Bible, as I fast, as I honor God in every area of my life. You have kingdom connections and you have powerful interruptions, unplanned things are suddenly going to open. Divine assignments, dreams, visions, in Jesus' name. I want you to give the biggest praise you can. I don't want you to do it unto man. I want you to do it unto him who sits upon the throne. If you believe he's moving and it's going to fall on your house, I want you to clap your hands and rejoice that your children will know the power of the Holy Ghost, that your grandchildren will know the power of the Holy Ghost, that this generation will know the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name. It's coming, I feel it. It's coming, it's coming. It's like the heavens are heavy, heavy, and when it breaks loose, it's gonna break. How many of you are hungry for it? Let me see your hand. I believe you are. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Raise your hand and receive this blessing. Matthew chapter 3, when you pray, when you fast, Jesus taught, and one other thing, when you give. Get this threefold cord going in your life, praying, fasting, and giving. Come in alignment this year with being a giver like Cornelius. God picked these men because they were doing those three things. They were praying, they were fasting, they were giving. Father, we praise you. Bless the people this week as they seek you. Speak to them when they read their Bibles. See, you say, well, that man, it's 12:30. But this is we're in overtime. When we go into the fast, this is overtime. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. You go take your, go. We ain't nobody making you come. We want you, we love you, but don't get upset because we're in overtime. Yeah. We can stay as long as we want to stay. We can, nobody, I understand. Got schedules and got to go to work and stuff. People work, this is like another work day to a lot of people. I understand all of that, but we're in overtime. We're excited. We win. We're going to win this game. We're going to win it. So raise your hand and receive the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and may he give you peace in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you, folks. We love you. We'll see you Sunday. Keep praying, keep fasting. Keep praying, keep fasting. Keep praying, keep fasting.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Mystery resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.